And we're back.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to late evening or late afternoon podcasting. I'm your host, Jin.
No.
No? You're the one that fucking told me to do it before.
I feel like the last time was better, and now you sound like Siri or something like that.
I sound like what?
Siri.
Oh.
Or like Alexa or something like that.
I just made everybody's things go off.
Yeah, probably.
Whatever. I tried. Fuck it. How are you?
I'm good. Perpetually stressed out. I have a performance coming up that I'm training my ass off for, and my body is just, oh my gosh, I've just been pushing it a little bit too far, but it'll be good. And yeah, I graduate soon, so that's really exciting.
Next month.
How are you? Yeah, in a month. Yeah, in exactly a month, actually.
That's crazy.
I know. I'm so ready to be done. The semester has been the craziest in my life, and I'm just so ready for it to be over.
I hear you.
Yeah, how are you?
Oh, you know, I'm just fan-fucking-tastic, you know? Mm-hmm. Prime shipping season. Everybody's wanting to plant. So work is a shit show, and then we have training all next week, and that's for the new system because the old system's going to go away in June and we're just going to have to fucking deal with it. So warning, you know, this is not suitable for children because I'm pretty much going to swear this entire episode. It's fine.
Yeah. We're a little aggressive for the small ears.
Not a little aggressive. Like yesterday, I full blown would have fought somebody if they said the wrong thing to me.
I remember you Snapchatting that to me. I was like, oh no.
I mean, I lit every little fucking thing. Now I'm just getting a little worked up thinking about it. But anyway.
Eclipse energy.
I mean, I was scared for everyone else myself. I generally don't get out of here. This is not for you. Go away, Peyton. I generally, you know, don't really care when my mood gets a little sour I'm normally a very aggressive and angry person anyway, but this was, I don't know, man. I don't know if it was the eclipse energy or what it was, but it was, I was going to fuck somebody up.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I didn't.
That's good.
You know. Anywho, let's go. Let's keep going. You're shit from the pit. Ready, go.
Oh, dude. Okay. So I have so much to talk about.
Oh, wait. Ready?
Yes. Yes.
Just so you know.
I have so much to talk about in this intro, and I really don't like have much at all for my main part. So it's pretty much your stuff is going to be like the majority of the episode. And a lot of the stuff that I wrote down like a month ago, like it's been all over the place, but there was one time where, and it was really funny to me, but I think a month ago I was like playing video games with all of my friends and I was in the party with them and talking to them. And out of nowhere, like, I have no idea where this came from, but I just said, live, laugh, lobotomy. Like,
I see that on t-shirts a lot.
Literally out of nowhere. Yeah, I must have, like, read it somewhere, and it just, like, subconsciously sat in my brain, because it just came out, and I was like, did I really just say that? I've been doing that a lot lately, where I'm, like, saying things, and then I'm like, wait, what? Why did I just say that? But I thought it was pretty funny in the moment.
Yeah, it's only slightly concerning. It's fine.
It's fine. The little voice in my head is coming out more often because I'm so freaking tired. But anyway.
People go around without an inner dialogue?
No.
How? Is it just like dead space up there? How do you not have an inner monologue?
Yeah. Like, what do you do? Like, that shit confuses me.
Those are probably the people that are like doctors and like super fucking like.
Probably.
Very career oriented and stuff like that. Not me, obviously.
Yeah. It's like, must be nice not to have ADHD. Then I wanted to talk about how this was, like I said, I wrote this a while ago and I can't remember what award ceremony it was, but you know, like Oppenheimer won all of the awards this year. Mm-hmm. I saw a TikTok, I think I sent it to you or you sent it to me, where it's like we're in 2024 and the horror genre has become so elevated and so beautiful and like cinematically inclined, but they're still not involved in award ceremonies. Like to this day, like people don't talk about like the artistry of horror movies at those types of ceremonies. And I'm like, damn, it's 2024. Like, what are we doing?
You would think a lot of people like horror, but it's actually more so of a niche genre that, yeah, it's a big thing and people say they like them, but too many other people like the history pieces, the rom-coms, right. the other stuff like that. Yeah, it's, yeah, I would agree. It's, right. Yeah, weird.
Horror movies just get ignored. I mean, I understand like early 2000s horror movies not being included because, yeah, those were pretty sloppy. And like, I understand that, but I feel like 2018 and up, we've had some really, really good horror movies. And like, I mean, Mia Goth, Lupita, I don't know what her last name is, from Us, Lupita Nyong'o, something like that.
Yeah.
Toni Collette in Hereditary, like even like Jack Nicholson in The Shining. I don't know. There's just so many like large names in horror that I feel they need credit for what they do. And it's really shitty that award ceremonies don't even have, like they could even do like a separate category for horror movies, but they don't.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I would agree.
Anyways. all right. Next thing I wanted to talk about. Have you seen One Day on Netflix?
One Day.
One Day.
So what's it about?
It's a romance.
Don't you start barking. I'm recording. Stop it.
Which, and anyone who knows me knows I am like, neither of us. We are not romance girls.
Unless it's dark.
Yeah, we do very dark.
And somebody's choking somebody.
Exactly. We do like the dark, like violent type of romance, but we're not like the fluffy romance kind of people.
No.
But I gave this show a shot called One Day. It's a show. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a limited series. I actually, when I was watching it, I didn't know that it was based off of a movie that came out like in the earlier 2000s. They pretty much redid it. And I didn't like it for most of the series, but then the last couple of episodes, holy shit, dude. They like destroyed me.
Ooh.
Like just out of nowhere, like becomes this whole different type of thing. And dude, I was sobbing my eyes out. If you want to get your heart broken, watch One Day on Netflix.
I would prefer not to get my heart broken, but you know.
Sometimes like I like watching the really sad stuff because it reminds me that I'm alive and I have emotions. You know? Like sometimes you need to feel those emotions to remember that you're alive.
Oh, this okay.
Anyways, also, okay, you sent me this TikTok yesterday and it blew my freaking mind. I had to talk about it. the TikTok you sent me about all of those like fun like film trivia facts.
Oh yeah, with the chick with the shaved head.
That one. Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I like her. She's funny.
The Breakfast Club one, I had no idea.
I had no idea either. I was like, holy fucking shit.
Yeah, and so Anthony made me watch The Breakfast Club, and I didn't like it because my complaint was the scripting. I was like, I don't think that the script is very good. I think that they could have planned it out a lot better. But apparently, it was all completely improvised.
Yep.
They were like the one scene where they get really, really deep and they all talk about how they got into the detention. Apparently that was completely, there wasn't a single line. And that makes so much sense now.
Right.
And so now I feel like if I watched it again, I could appreciate it a little bit more knowing that, oh, that wasn't scripting.
Realizing how good of actors they all were.
Yeah. I definitely need to rewatch with that perspective.
There you go.
Yes. Good. And right. Then, bro, this show, I cannot believe I've waited this long to watch Dark.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh, dude. I'm obsessed with it. I just finished season two, started season three. And, oh, my, I am obsessed. I cannot stop thinking about this show. It is so good.
That's the backwards one, right?
Yes.
Without going into detail of what is about this, the backwards one. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dude, I absolutely love it. I think about this show all day. And I'm not a sci-fi girl. Like, I'm not. I mean, this isn't a spoiler, but it does involve, like, time travel. And I've never really been sci-fi type of stuff. But, dude, this show is so freaking good. I'm obsessed.
You have to pay attention. Like, it makes you pay attention because you want to know
100%. Like, how it is. Yeah, this is not a casual watch. No. You have to be, like, fully invested.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Watched it, yep.
Oh, my gosh. It's just, like, people always say, like, oh, that blew my mind or it's mind-blowing. Like, no, that's actually physically how it feels. Like, it made my brain hurt.
Right.
Like, physically hurt. And I really want to do a deep dive into this show, but it's going to be a really long episode, and that's going to take a lot of work. But I do want to do it someday.
Okay.
Because, oh, man. I'm obsessed. And I do have to say that I am loving Dark miles more than I enjoyed 1899.
Well, it's got that one, the captain and what's his face are in it.
Yeah.
I think it has more than that. There might be a couple more of the same characters.
I think so. I don't exactly remember, but I found, like, I enjoyed 1899, but it bored me a little bit.
Yeah, in some parts it was a little slow.
Yeah, in some parts it was slow. But Dark, dude, I am invested in that shit. Like, it's been a long time since I've actually had a show that I really, really look forward to watching. And I'm like, no, I need to watch it. And I just love it. So if you haven't seen Dark, you've got to watch it. It's so good.
It has kind of like a Chernobyl undertone feel to it.
Yeah.
Then yeah, that's probably why we like it so much.
100%. Yeah, it's I mean, yeah, I don't want to give it away, but yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Yep, that's it right there.
That's it.
That's it.
And that's what I said to Anthony too, because he and I loved Chernobyl, the show, and so I was like, I feel like he would really like Dark as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Moving on, so I was on Google one day and I hadn't seen this on TikTok, before I saw the Google search, but you know how on Google it shows you like trending searches?
Sure. I don't know that I've been on Google that. Oh, maybe on your phone?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like if you click on the search bar, there's like trending searches.
Yeah.
One day I was on my phone and in the trending searches, it said demon faces. And I was like, what is that? And so I had to click on it. And now there's a bunch of TikToks out there about it. But apparently there's a very small percentage of people in the world who have this psychological condition where they can't see normal faces. They see everybody as like demons, like with demon faces.
Really?
Yeah. It makes, it's not like your stereotypical demons, like horror movie demons, but I guess like their face looks very stretched out. It's like somebody like took your face and just completely like stretched it out. And like their smile is very long and stretchy in their eyes. And they have like these big, like goblin looking or gargoyle looking like ears.
Oh.
And yeah, apparently that's a thing. And so if you guys want to know what that looks like, search up demon faces, because it's pretty interesting. And if I had that condition, I would be afraid to leave my house.
I mean, I would assume so.
Yeah, I like screenshotted stuff, but I don't really have time to go into it. Maybe another time though.
Okay. Table that.
Yes. I have a question for you now.
Oh, okay. Didn't know this was happening. All right.
Mm-hmm. If you could time travel and witness the creation of any horror movie, which one would you choose? Like, if you could be on the set and witness the entire production of any horror movie, which one would you choose?
Well, I don't know. I'm trying to think. It's a toss-up between, like, the original Shining and Stephen King's It with Bill Skarsgård, not It with Tim Curry.
Gotcha. The newer It.
Yeah.
Interesting.
What did you think I was going to say?
Very good choices. For some reason, I thought you were going to say, like, Halloween or Friday the 13th.
They're like, pretty straightforward, you know.
Yeah. The classics. I haven't even thought about this question, like, personally. But I would probably want to choose the next movie that I'm talking about. I would probably choose It Follows, because It Follows is the only horror movie that I've ever watched that terrifies me to the point where I can't watch it. Like, I physically can't sit through it because I get so terrified.
Now, see, maybe it's, and I know that we've talked about this before, but we'll remind the folks at home or in your car or office, mm-hmm. wherever, that I don't know. I don't get the obsession you have with it, because maybe it's because I watched it on my phone and not like a big screen or something. I don't know. I just didn't get the same feeling, I guess. I don't know. It was okay.
For me, I think that I'm so terrified of it because people following me is a very real fear that I've had my whole life. Like, my entire life. I've always thought that people were following me. I've never felt alone. That has always been a very, like, genuine phobia of mine. And so that's why I think it's so scary to me.
Yeah. Could be.
Yeah. Probably. But yes, I'm about to bring it up again because the sequel is in pre-production. And I'm so excited. I don't know if I'm going to be able to watch it, but I'm so excited.
You don't know if you're going to be able to watch it.
Oh my gosh. I'm probably not going to sleep for days, but I am very excited. I'm definitely going to try to watch it, but might have a panic attack. Don't know.
I think you just need to watch it. You'll be fine. Suck it up, Buttercup.
Yeah. And it's going to be called They Follow.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming instead of one person following, it'll be multiple, which is fucking terrifying.
That would be a little scary. I mean, I get and understand and like the concept of it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's interesting the way they have to, like, yeah, pass it along and whatnot, but we'll get there.
Yeah. Yeah. Serious. All right. I only have a couple more things I wanted to bring up. So have you heard of the thing that happened with Bunny, the dog?
No, I don't think so.
So you know how on TikTok there's always those dogs that can press the buttons?
Oh, Bunny, not Bonnie is what you said. You said Bunny.
I think his name is Bunny, right?
Yeah, it's Bunny. I thought you said Bonnie.
Oh, no.
I have no idea what dog that is. But Bunny, I know. It's like a Labradoodle or something.
Yeah, it's some type of doodle. It's a dog that presses buttons, so can actively communicate with its owner. Like, it can say food or hi or love you or treat or like anything like that. And apparently the dog like became aware that it was a dog.
Yeah, I've seen that one.
Yeah, and it started asking, why am I a dog? It would say,
why dog?
It would say, why bunny dog?
Yeah.
And dude, and apparently like the dog, since becoming aware of itself, has had to be on anxiety meds.
Well, that sucks.
Yeah. I'm like, what? Like, that is a real soul that is trapped inside of a dog and it doesn't know why. That's so sad.
It is sad that it has to be put on anxiety meds. I wonder why I've seen that they stopped posting.
No, I clicked on the profile and they, like, the dog seems normal. But that makes me really sad. I don't know. I don't know.
It's a weird thing to have, spatial or whatever awareness pop up and then it be something that you can't handle, you know?
Yeah. It's like, I don't know. All I'm envisioning is like this tormented like soul inside of this dog that's like lost and it doesn't know what's happening. And that just makes me really sad.
But also the dog. So like it's living its best life.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, you know.
Oh, it's just so crazy. I've never heard of an animal becoming self-aware like that. So. Crazy.
Crazy.
Yes. And then in theaters with Anthony, I recently saw the new Godzilla movie, Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire. Yes. So it's Godzilla and King Kong. They team up and they go fight this like other giant monkey who has like this pet dinosaur thing. Dude.
This sounds ridiculous.
Dude, it's so ridiculous when you describe it, but I mean, obviously it's a creature feature. It's not supposed to be like a super serious film. It's for entertainment. It's for the wow factor. But I was really impressed with the acting in this one, because in the other American Godzilla movies, I think that the acting is super cheesy.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah. This one, I was impressed with the acting and the CGI, and just the cinematography was so beautiful, and the way that they animated the creatures and the monkeys, they did it so beautifully. And I got emotional like during the huge fight scene, because it was like, wow, like movies can do shit like this. Like it just blew my mind how advanced cinema has come compared to even like 10 years ago, 20 years ago. It's just insane how far it's come. And I got emotional. I was like, movies are so cool. Like they can really do whatever they want.
You're not wrong.
And then I haven't watched the new Dune, but Anthony made me watch Dune Part 1 because we're going to go see the second one in theaters.
I watched it as well.
You watched the first one or the second one?
The first one.
The first one.
Yeah.
Are you planning on watching the second one?
I mean, I'm told that I really have to, that it's better than the first one.
Yes. I've heard that it's a lot better than the first one, and that the cinematography is absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, that's what I heard too.
Yes.
So, I mean, I don't know that I'll go to theaters. I'll probably wait until it comes out on streaming somewhere.
Yeah. That's fair.
So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Be on the lookout for that. We'll update you on that one. And then last thing, did you see the trailer for Maxine?
I did not see it yet, but I know you tagged me in the stills.
Yes. So Maxine trailer's out.
I need to go look at that.
Yes. It looks really freaking good. I'm so excited. There is a huge Easter egg in the trailer. I'm not going to spoil it for you, but there is something really, really cool that's going to be in the movie that I'm excited about.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I know what you're talking about.
Yes. And then also, lastly, did you see the Joker trailer?
I did. I don't know how I feel about it.
No.
Like, I know, I don't know. I just, I don't know. Lady Gaga, I don't know. You know? Oh, like, Joaquin Phoenix is going to be really good. I know that part.
Oh, yeah.
I just, I don't know. I'm just going to keep an open mind to it. Like, because I did love, I liked the first one a lot, so.
Yeah. Dude, I'm not exaggerating when I say that Joker 1 changed my life. Like, that film was so beautiful and so meaningful to me. I have not found another film yet that makes me feel the way that Joker does. I think that my soul is very connected to the story for some reason, and I absolutely adore it. And I really think that this second one is going to be like groundbreaking. I think it's going to be really, really, really good. And I'm so friggin' excited. Like, it makes me emotional. I cried watching the trailer.
Oh, okay.
Like, I'm so excited. And I think that Lady Gaga is going to do an amazing job because I really liked her in A Star is Born. I think she did great in that.
I didn't watch it.
Oh, that's probably why you're hesitant, because you haven't seen like her true, like her really good acting, maybe.
Yeah, sure. I don't know.
I'm just so excited.
I don't have a desire to watch A Star is Born. No, thank you.
Yeah. I mean, it's not typically our genre, but it is very dark. It has a lot of dark themes, and I enjoyed it. I really did like it, but yeah, it's not for everybody. But oh man, I'm so freaking excited. Ugh, that one, I am going to go to the midnight premiere, 100%.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, sorry. Okay. Is this Joker apart from what's his face's Batman?
Yes.
Okay, these are two different universes, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Joaquin Phoenix's Joker is completely standalone.
Yeah, because it's more so not superhero like idolized.
Not at all.
It's more real.
It's
like a person could legitimately be just like that and go that psycho and just break.
100%. It is it is a psychological character analysis like we've seen before, but the way that they do it is so memorable, and Joker is such an iconic character. But I feel like they could have gone really cheesy with it, but they didn't. Yeah. They made it so real and so raw. And that's what I love about it, is it shows you like humanity, like true, like raw humanity. And that's what I love so much about it.
Well, and the dedication that Joaquin had on losing the weight, you know, making him appear, I don't know, not like, like run down or whatever.
Like very malnourished. Yeah.
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 That'd be hard on your body.
Oh yeah. He is by far one of the best actors of our generation. He's absolutely incredible. I'm so excited. I feel like I'm gonna like be sobbing the whole time I watch the movie for the first time. So I'm gonna have to go watch it again.
Do you think that they would have done this film if Heath Ledger hadn't died? You think they still would have went this direction or no?
I do.
Okay. I mean, yes, because that Heath Ledger goes with the original like Batman universe, whatnot, but
right.
His Joker was also just as good and just as dark, I feel.
Oh yeah. I mean, yeah, I do think that Joaquin's Joker is much darker.
Yes.
But yeah, they do have that same very genuine, very human vibe about them, where the Joker usually doesn't, because he's a he's a right. character in a comic book, a superhero comic book. So I think that they both took the same approach, and they both are, they both go down in history as doing absolutely incredible things for roles. I mean, Heath literally drove himself crazy doing it.
Yeah, sadly, yes.
Sadly. And I do think that if Heath had never died, they still would have taken this route.
Okay. All right.
Oh my God. I cannot talk highly enough about it.
Also, apologies. I'm sure everybody can hear the trains that go by because I have my front door kind of sort of open. So, and I'm sitting in my living room, not anywhere else. So I'm sure they're more amplified and louder, but you're just going to have to deal with it. Okay.
It's all good. Yeah, that's it for my shit from the pit. I had a lot of updates, but my part after your part is going to be very short. So,
well, and it's been a hot minute. You know, we keep saying, oh, we're going to get right back to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we don't get paid for this. So
nope.
It's all time when we do this.
Yep.
We don't have a lot of free time. So,
yep.
All right. Well, yeah. My shit from the pit, normal update, doing training even more so with my trainer for the games because that's all picking up. I'm doing some two-a-days, some not. Wearing myself out, you know, it's fine. The one thing that I had mentioned, I think, on the last episode that I thought I had worked out to get, like, something new in my life, remember?
I think so.
Talked about it. Yeah, that didn't happen, so I failed, so whatever. That did not pan out the way I thought it was going to, and definitely, yeah, no.
Well, darn it.
Hard no. Mm-hmm. Also, we were talking about TikTok earlier. I'm going to look into it. I don't care. It's called a FinDom. Have you seen that TikTok yet?
FinDom?
A financial dominant.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes. Because
yes. You don't even got to, like, meet these people. They just get off from giving you money and just giving you gifts. Like, that's their, like, you don't even got to, like, talk to them. You could text them, but it's not exchanging of anything. It's like, the fuck? Why am I just now finding out about this?
For real. Oh, I knew about it a long time ago, but I couldn't bring myself to do it.
Oh, I totally would. Totally would.
You should.
I'm totally going to. I'm going to go look it up after this. I will.
Hell yeah.
Watch. Anyway, so yes, training's picking up. We're officially on the full gym side for kickboxing, so that's become a bit of a cluster on its own. My first game, our opener, my season opener is the 27th of this month.
Yay!
And I did officially get vacation time off and whatnot to go to the East Coast and throw in September for sure now.
Woohoo! So I'll
be over there throwing around Alexandria, Virginia area. Hmm. So, anybody from there, holler at me. No, I'm just kidding. The main thing that I wanted to bring up to you that I don't think I told you about yet.
Oh, God.
Oh, you're gonna shit yourself with this. Oh, that's so funny. So, it's a juicy one. It's so Lachlan has a friend that visits him at night.
Huh?
Yeah, he had randomly said, like, Chris will text me, his dad, I guess I shouldn't say the names, Chris will text me every once in a while, like, random shit that Lachlan says, and he had said the whole, I think I had mentioned him talking about that our skeletons and our muscles hold our ghosts.
What?
Yeah, he just randomly said that one day. And so I wanted to ask him, I was like, so who told you about ghosts? So I had this conversation with him and I wish to fucking God I had recorded it. I should have, because Mandy's face was priceless as we were having this conversation. And it's hard, you know, keep a child's attention span for so long. But right. I was like, okay, so who told you about ghosts? He said, his friend. I was like, what friend are we talking about? And he said the one that visits him in his room since he was 2.
Nope. Nope. Nope.
I was like, oh, since you were two, I was like, does he still visit you? Yeah. He told me that his name is Bochi. And I was like, are you saying Bodhi? And he's like, no, Bochi. I was like, what in the hell is Bochi? And so I did a random Google Translate. Like, I just told it to pick the language. Well, the first one that came up was, I don't remember the language itself, but it translated to butcher. So there was that.
No.
But I don't believe that's what it was. There was another one that I found, and I can't remember what the heck it was. And he doesn't know how to spell it, so I just had to guess at the spelling.
Mm-hmm.
He said that he doesn't have any hair, and he usually wears glasses. I was like, okay. Well, did he ever have hair before? And he said, yeah. I was like, okay, well, what color was his hair when he had hair? And he said it was red. And that he has blue eyes. I was like, okay. It is. He says he's as tall as I am, but you know, kids don't really know height. Mm-hmm. So it's an adult, you know, I would assume, not a child.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that he's a teacher. I was like, oh, he's a teacher. He just goes, yeah. And he has 7 books. I was like, wait, 7 books? Okay. Why does he have 7 books? He's like, yeah. I was like, oh, okay.
Like, he just carries them around?
He just has 7 books. That's all he said. Uh-huh. I don't know why he randomly said that, but he has 7 books. I was like, okay. What color are these books? And he just goes, well, one of them's gold and one is pink. But I don't remember what the other colors are. Okay. All right. Cool. He supposedly... His friend supposedly only trusts me for some reason. I don't know why. That's another thing, random thing that Lachlan told me.
Like you as in Jenny?
Yes.
Okay.
And then later on, we tried to show him a picture of Uncle Pete. The only one we could find was like when he was younger.
Uh-huh.
And so he said, no, that's not his friend. So then finally I got mom to find another picture, like one of his senior ones. And we did show him that. And I said, hey, is this your friend? And he goes, yeah.
Oh, so, heck no.
It's Uncle Pete.
Oh, that's so nice.
And then he had told me that he had visited him again, but Lachlan was asleep, but Ewan was awake. And apparently, this is exactly how Lachlan said it to me. He goes, yeah, he visited. I was asleep, though. Ewan was awake, and he just goes, who are you?
Oh.
Okay, all right.
No way.
Yeah, it's just like, kid, what the hell is going on?
Oh my gosh.
So I tried again when I was showing him the picture of Uncle Pete to ask. I'll randomly ask him about his friend if he's visited him again. And there was one other time before I got him to say that it was Uncle Peter, and I asked him what his name was again. He goes, I can't tell you. I was like, excuse you?
Oh.
I was like, why can't you tell me? He said, I can't. I was like, we're not going to do this. we're not doing a thing where your friend that visits you at night doesn't tell you. And this all started because he stayed up till like 11 or 11:30 one night on his iPad. And Mandy went in and was like, Lachlan, you need to go to bed. And he told her that he was waiting for his friend that shows up at midnight.
Bro. There's no fucking way.
Yeah.
That's wild.
I know, right? I was like, I have a great story for Ship of the Pit now. Yes.
Dude. And he's at the perfect age. Like, that's the age where kids see the most stuff.
I know, right?
That's wild.
Mm-hmm. But he is a smart little cookie because he knows all about the planets and stuff. And he can tell you, like, how they are in, like, the solar system and stuff, too.
Oh, wow.
Take that. Shot it. But, yeah.
Very nice.
So look forward to more stories to come because I'm going to grill him about him all the time now.
Dude, freaking Uncle Pete is messing with them.
We hope it is. I need to
Yeah.
cleanse the room just in case, you know.
Yeah.
Because I don't think Fee sees anything because I'd given Mandy a piece of like selenite and tourmaline or whatever, and she has it above her door. So, anywho,
Dude.
that's all I got for
Wild.
sure. That most interesting little tidbit there.
That is wild. I love it.
All right. So, this week, we're kind of going back on track of things that we did in the past, and I've decided to do a cryptid. And I'm going to tackle the one and the only Mothman.
Woohoo!
And that means Emma is going to swing on through with the movie.
Yeah.
Although, I'm not sure if there's anything else you're touching base on or just the movie with what's his face in it.
Just the one. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, there's a whole bunch in there. All the other ones are really, really dumb.
Horrible.
I'm not saying that this Mothman one is not dumb, but.
Yeah. It's the closest I could get.
Yeah, I would say that this one freaked me out when I was a child only because I don't like bugs. So, like, if you have a bug phobia or whatnot,
Yeah.
they give you the ick. I'd probably not watch it, you know? So, but anyways, I'm gonna go first so you all know what Mothman is and kind of the backstory, and then Emma's gonna tell you all about the movie.
Yes.
Yeah. To make it as simple as it can be, Mothman is a dark 6.5 to 7 foot tall creature with a massive wingspan of at least 10 feet and red eyes. Obviously resembling a moth, but also has humanoid features. Anyone who's encountered the cryptid has, of course, been terrified of it, because why would you not be of a, like, part human, part bug thing that's 7 fucking feet tall? Ugh.
Yeah.
So, anywho, it is said that it can also fly great distances and at speeds of up to 100 miles per hour, which is fucking fast.
Going.
I don't really know how they could gauge that exactly, you know, but I don't know. We're just gonna go with it. So, legend tells of a terrifying flying creature dubbed the Mothman that has mortified countless Point Pleasant residents throughout the 1960s. When a bridge mysteriously collapsed in the area, the creature was blamed for the deaths of 46 people. On November 12th, 19 Jesus, patient. No. So on November 12th, 1966, a group of grave diggers hard at work in Clendon, West Virginia, noticed something out of the ordinary. They glanced up from their ditches to see something massive soaring overhead. It was darting from tree to tree. The grave diggers later described the entity as a huge brown-winged human being, which just sounds gross on its own.
Yeah.
The grave diggers, of course, were scared, which, you know, says a lot considering their occupation. You know, you're gonna work in a graveyard.
Yeah.
They'd be afraid of too much. They had no idea what to make of this giant winged beast. Just 3 days after their initial report, witnesses in the nearby town of Point Pleasant noticed a winged creature about 6 or 7 feet tall standing in front of a car they were in. Eyewitnesses Roger Scarberry and Steve Mallett told the local paper at the time, the Point Pleasant Register, that the creature donned a 10-foot wingspan, red eyes, and an urge to avoid the headlights of the vehicle. Interesting little tidbit. According to witnesses, the creature could fly at ridiculously fast speeds, like I said, the 100 mile per hour. The beast chased the witnesses to the outskirts of town, and then it ran into a field and just disappeared. They knew it sounded absurd. A flying giant moth with red terrorizing like eyes? What? Scarsbury assured the paper that if he had seen it by himself, he wouldn't have said anything, but four people saw the Mothman that day. It couldn't have just been a figment of his imagination. But there's also that, what was that term I used? Like mass hysteria?
Yeah.
Where people like think of all the same thing happening. But
Yes.
anyhow. Reporters were skeptical, naturally. Folks believed the Mothman was nothing more than an overgrown owl or an eagle, which is a big difference. I don't know of eagles that have 10-foot wingspans or owls.
Yeah, no. And I don't, I mean, everyone describes him as like humanoid or like moth-like, yeah. But when I see him, I'm like, no, that's a demon. Like my mind goes straight to demon, but right? That's just me.
We'll get there eventually. The reporters did print Mallet's description of the creature. It was like a man with wings. More and more sightings began to occur, and the legend of Mothman started to take shape. The Gettysburg Times reported 8 additional sightings 3 days after the first report. They include 2 volunteer firefighters who said they saw a huge bird with glowing red eyes. One Salem, West Virginia resident reported seeing strange patterns on his television and then hearing mysterious noises outside of his home. As he shined a flashlight toward the direction of the noise, he witnessed 2 red glowing eyes like reflectors back at him. Dr. Robert L. Smith, an associate professor of wildlife at West Virginia University, stated that a flying monster was never stalking the town. He attributed the sightings to a large sandhill crane, which stands as tall as a man and has bright red skin around its eyes.
Bruh.
Yeah, I don't think that's the same thing.
No.
That would have, like, stilts for legs. That would not look humanoid.
Yeah, no.
Some people took this explanation and ran with it, stating that the crane must have been deformed, especially if it lived in a nearby area that was once filled with nearby bunkers used to manufacture ammunitions. I think they missed some terms here. During World War II, perhaps these bunkers leaked toxic chemicals into the wildlife preserve and created a monster crane.
Done.
Springfield in the... Another theory suggests that the Mothman was just a prank, and when the press began to report on the topic, people in the small town of Point Pleasant started to panic. Locals were convinced they saw the Mothman daily, and it's worth noting that Mothman's physical appearance resembles several types of demons encountered during bouts of sleep paralysis. Maybe these visions are nothing more than human fears incarnate, a trick of the mind, a strange entity pulled from the subconscious of fearful locals. On December 15th, 1967, just over a year after the Mothman was first seen, the Silver Bridge was packed with cars. The bridge was placed under extreme strain. The bridge was initially made for lighter cars, Model Ts only weighing like 1,500 pounds. Modern cars were now about 4,000 pounds. The bridge engineers weren't too cautious or imaginative when creating the bridge, and when one part of the bridge failed, the rest followed suit. Without warning, a single eye bar near the top of the bridge on the Ohio side cracked. The chain snapped and the bridge fell to pieces, plunging cars and people into the icy waters of the Ohio River below. 46 people died by drowning, hypothermia, or being crushed by the wreckage. That's a lot of people.
Yeah.
The bridge collapse was the second bizarre thing that put Point Pleasant on the map, following the Mothman sightings. It wasn't long before the 2 cases were connected, and the Mothman was blamed for the bridge's failure. Point Pleasant's fame as home of the Mothman continues to this day. Movies and books have been written about the subject, and the Mothman has been kept very much alive throughout the decades. There even exists the idea that the Mothman predicts disasters.
Yep.
He is seen standing atop the newly constructed bridge just before disasters, including the Mexican swine flu outbreak of 2009, and even the 2011 nuclear disaster in Fukushima, Japan.
Mm-hmm.
I think sightings of the Mothman have slowly declined since the late 1960s, but every so often a sighting emerges. In 2016, a man who had recently moved to the area saw a creature jumping from tree to tree, just like the original report. He claimed that he had been unaware of the legend until he saw the beast itself. The legend of the Mothman lives on in museums. A 12-foot tall chrome statue of the beast and Mothman plushies being held in arms of children as they visit the many gift shops of the town are known. There is. And I mean, if you've seen this Mothman statue, he got a badonkadonk on him.
Dude, he's creepy. I don't
You're
like
not
it.
wrong. But he got a butt.
He knew. He really knew.
They even have a Mothman Festival, which celebrates one of America's strangest local legends, and this party attracts locals and visitors alike, like moths to a flame.
Nice.
So now I have a part of, I believe it was a like a dissertation or something. I can't remember exactly. Someone, goddamn knows every time. Right, about the Mothman, because they had like a cryptid course and stuff. I can't remember exactly where I got this, so none of this is my information. So I'm just regurgitating it. I don't own the rights to it. So, Jesus fucking Christ, Peyton. Duh. So many came to believe that the sightings of Mothman, as well as UFO sightings and encounters with men in black in the area, were all related. For nearly a year, strange happenings continued in the area. Researchers, investigators, and monster hunters descended on the area, but none so famous as author John Keel, who has written extensively about the Mothman and other unexplained anomalies. Keel has written for many years about UFOs, but dismisses the standard extraterrestrial theories of the mainstream UFO movement. Keel states, "The UFOs do not seem to exist in as tangible manufactured objects. They seem to be nothing more than transmogrifications." There we go.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's a big fucking word. It's fine. I could do big words some days. Tailoring themselves to our ability to understand. For this reason, he has been a controversial figure for decades. According to Keel, mankind has had a long history of interactions with the supernatural. He believes that the invention of mysterious strangers in the lives of historic personages like Thomas Jefferson, Malcolm X, provide evidence of the continuing presence of the gods of old. The manifestation of these elder gods comes in the form of UFOs, aliens, monsters, demons, angels, and of course, ghosts.
Dun-dun-dun.
Again, Keel states, "The thousands of contacts with the entities indicate that there are liars and put on artists. The UFO manifestations seem to be, by and large, merely minor variations of the age-old demonological variation. He is seen as a colorful character to many, yet remains respected in the field for his research and interesting comprehensive writings." Keel became the main reporter of the Mothman case and wrote that at least 100 people personally witnessed the creature between November 1966 and 1967. According to their reports, the creature stood between 5 and 7 feet tall, which is different from the 6.5, but anyways, was wider than a man and shuffled on human-like legs. That part is what creeps me out. Shuffled? Didn't like walk normally, he just shuffled?
I
How do you shuffle?
am envisioning funny things.
Like a penguin shuffling, you know, like a
Yeah.
walk.
Do you remember the video I sent you yesterday?
Yes, like that.
That's what I'm envisioning.
Its eyes were set near the top of the shoulders and had bat-like wings that glided rather than flapped when it flew. The gliding thing would be really eerie. Instead of like flap flap, it's like phew. Know, sound effects make it real. It's fun.
Gosh, I can't breathe.
You have to clip that sound for the TikTok.
Oh, yes, I do.
Anyhow, so John Keel arrived in Point Pleasant in December of 1966 and immediately began collecting reports of Mothman sightings and even UFO reports from before the creature was even seen. He also compiled evidence that suggested a problem with televisions and phones that began in the fall of 1966. Lights had been seen in the skies, particularly around the TNT plant, and cars that passed along the nearby roads sometimes stalled without explanation. He and his fellow researchers also uncovered a number of short-lived poltergeist cases in the Ohio Valley. Locked doors opened and closed by themselves. Strange thumps were heard inside and outside homes. And often, inexplicable voices were heard. Kiel was convinced that this intense period of activity was basically all connected. In the face of multiple manifestations of unexplained events, phone calls, sightings, etc., he just went with that and kept on rolling. And we're at the 55-minute mark, so we're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back.
And we're back.
Yes. Thank God I took a break, because bloody nose gushing, and apparently painful, so, you know, it's fine. Shut up!
Fine. Okay.
Welcome back. He thought all the phone calls, blah, 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 sightings, everything happened for a reason, or it was all connected. So there's been a lot of controversy over the validity of the alleged Mothman sightings. A number of hypotheses have been presented to explain eyewitness accounts and attempt to explain what they thought it was that people might have seen. It has been referred to everything from a large, rare type of crane to an example of mass hallucination potentially caused by a chemical spill. Eyewitnesses came from all walks of life within the small community, and the community itself staunchly stood by the eyewitnesses as upstanding, incredible members of their close-knit town. With so many reporting firsthand eyewitness accounts, serious questions were raised about the validity of those sightings. At first glance, the average person will accept what they have seen with their own eyes without hesitation. Visual perception. God damn. Visual perception is an important brain activity that most of us don't even realize we perform. We trust our eyes to capture images of the world we live in, and we rely on those images to be the correct representation of our environment. Seeing appears to be an instant and effortless thing. Our brains, however, are constantly processing those images, recognizing and charting them against the previously acquired knowledge. The brain unconsciously analyzes each image's position, movement, size, color, and shape, and finally reconstructs those pieces into our own view of the world. So, kind of along the lines of what you were talking about, the person with the demon faces, their wiring is fried or obstructed.
Right, yeah.
So basically, what we see in our brains make... What we see is what our brains make of the visual images of our eyes capturing. This is visual perception, and it is a unique experience to each and every individual. Individuals who suffer from dementia and Alzheimer's routinely see people, places, and items that are not there. Additionally, sufferers of schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, and Parkinson's disease and other nervous disorders also report audio and visual hallucinations. This is an example of brain function altering our perceived reality and making what we see with our own eyes potentially suspect or not real. Of course, back in Point Pleasant, the likelihood of dozens of eyewitnesses all suffering from brain disorders and manifesting the same vision is very highly unlikely. Either have looked into what could have been another underlying cause. Could it be something as simple as what I had said previously? Mass hysteria? This is a phenomenon that transmits collective illusions of the threats, whether they are truly real or imaginary, through a course of mass population in society as a result of rumors and fear. If you didn't know, now you know. Think of anything else currently, you know, kind of in this world where this could be happening.
Dun, dun, dun.
Could possibly take a little thinker on that because it's happening. Mm-hmm. One of the most notorious cases of mass hysteria occurred in, take a guess.
America.
Where?
Oh, where in America?
Where in the history of America is the most notorious one?
New York?
I mean, you're on the right coast.
Salem.
There you go.
There you go, yeah.
Salem, Massachusetts, from 1692 to 1693. Three adolescent girls began to suffer from epileptic fits, or like epileptic fits, apparently without any known cause. The local minister became involved and declared the fits to be unnatural and the product of evil influences.
Oops.
The girls began to accuse local townspeople of luring them into satanic rites, and ultimately the events resulted in the Salem Witch Trials.
Uh-huh.
And then the series of hearings leading to the execution of 25 citizens in the village of Salem and other nearby towns after being accused of witchcraft. The Mothman sightings fit the profile for mass hysteria, as more and more townspeople reported these sightings, many of which were terrifying in nature. The entire region became gripped with fear. The likelihood of people's imaginations running wild, coupled with stress, anxiety, fear, and a willingness to believe one's neighbor's accounts, could potentially be an underlying source for the sheer amount of sightings. Even the strange burned skin and red eyes reported by some eyewitnesses could be a byproduct of epidemic hysteria. Epidemic hysteria is a common type of mass hysteria that occurs when a group of people believe they are suffering from a similar disease or ailment.
Mm-hmm.
So, like a subproduct. Did the people of Point Pleasant suffer from mass hallucinations, or did they encounter something real and potent, albeit outside of the realm of known science? Is it? Is it a thing? Where is the breaking point between belief in what we have, what you have witnessed firsthand, and the logical and scientific explanations that force you to reconsider your direct experience? So then they go on to talk about a more religious aspect of it, which in, you know, people's faith. So faith is the antithesis to science, yet many things we accept to be real largely depend on faith in science. Science tells us to believe in atoms, black holes, quantum mechanics, supernovas, and other phenomena that cannot be seen by the human eye. Many of science's discoveries rely exclusively on mathematic equations, i.e. Einstein's famous E equals mc squared, to prove the existence of these wonders, but the vast majority of people will never comprehend in the slightest as to how these formulas and equations prove or disprove anything. And you know what? Mm-hmm. They're fucking right. I would have mm-hmm. not even the first clue.
Nope.
Couldn't even tell you. At some point, it is our faith in science and our belief in the scientists and their ability to use the scientific method that allows us to accept a black hole and other discoveries as real. So how can faith in cryptozoology be placed in the realm of the insane or naive, but faith in science and its unseen discoveries and applications be sensible and logical? It's a great fucking question.
It is.
Excuse me. Woo. Hold on. My, this liquid death, I tell you, it gets me every time. Now we're just going to go on to a few Mothman sightings around the world, not just Point Pleasant.
Ooh.
So, these are like quick little snippets I found around the internet. A truck driver who stopped at O'Hare International Airport in Chicago on November 26, 2019, claimed he spotted a person with wings around 7 feet tall standing by a fence while he took a smoke break at about 6:30 p.m. He reported his sighting to UFO Clearinghouse, an online source for odd encounters that describe itself as a portal for the truth. According to the investigator who took the report, the truck driver said the creature had a wingspan of approximately 6 feet and looked like a demon or a goblin and was solid black.
Bruh, when you when he was on his smoke break, I was picturing the Mothman, like,
on his smoke
smoking a cigarette, like, tapping his foot, like, vibing. It's like, wait, no.
Don't get at the guy. Mothman just likes to stop and have a cig every once in a while, too, okay? Let him enjoy the simple pleasures of life.
Oh, my goodness.
The witness mentioned the creature may have had its back to him, and that it was walking with a gait like a bird. He claimed it was flapping its wings as it walked toward the large field that is by the airport / runways and disappeared into the night.
Dun, dun, dun.
The witness himself believed he was in the presence of a demon. When the investigator asked if he'd seen anything like it before, the truck driver detailed a similar experience as a child in Mexico where a solid black-winged creature was circling an open field and made a loud screeching noise before flying off into the surrounding forest, similarly to the experience of those who claimed to have encountered Mothman.
Ooh.
The first of a series of strange sightings actually took place about 85 miles away from Point Place in Clendenin, West Virginia, fought the gravediggers I had talked about before. This is a little more into it. They had called it, it was over the next few days that they had called it a large bird with red eyes, but that it was like a helicopter when it went to ascend straight into the air. They had said that the birdman with glowing hypnotic red eyes and wings of a bat was horrifying. But there were at least 100 reports from people of all ages talking about it. Okay. Mary Heyer, I think that's how you say her name. H-Y-R-E, Heyer?
Sounds like. Yeah.
A reporter at the time of the Mothman sightings received over 500 phone calls, not only about this mysterious creature, but also strange lights in the sky, electrical interference, mysterious humming sounds, and, of course, like we had talked about, UFO sightings. And then, of course, after that, there was the bridge collapse. On September 10th of 1978, a group of miners in Freiburg, Germany, so not the east coast of the U.S., mm-hmm. came face-to-face with a seemingly headless creature with glowing red eyes on its chest, blocking the mine's entrance.
What?
At first, they thought it was a man in a trench coat, but they quickly realized it was not a coat, but unfurled large black wings.
Mm.
Yeah, the men remained in the mine entrance, stunned and staring at the creature, until it let out a blood-curdling screech that sent the miners scrambling out.
Mm.
About an hour later, the men felt a seismic rumble and witnessed a plume of dust shoot from the mine as it collapsed. The men had gone to their stations in the mine as usual. If the men had gone to their stations in the mine as usual, the majority of them would have died.
Hmm.
It appeared as though what they dubbed the Freiburg Shrieker saved their lives.
It's very like Mothman gives Banshee vibes.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, there's a train. Yeah, I would say Banshee vibes. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Definitely. Maybe he's just like another form of a Banshee.
Maybe.
During the days leading up to the terrorist attacks of September 2001, September 11th, 9/11, several people reported sightings of a black-winged creature flying near the Twin Towers.
Oh!
During the attack, as the second plane hit, eyewitnesses reported a creature flying parallel to the plane. Then, in the days that followed, those reporting the creature were allegedly approached by men in black and warned to stop talking about what they saw.
Oh!
Mm-hmm. Right?
No way.
Fucking weird. Oh. Yeah. Mothman is believed to have been around for the worst nuclear accident in history. Throughout 1985, many scientists and other workers at the nuclear power plant Chernobyl, Ukraine, claimed to see a huge black bird-like creature with the body of a man flying around the plant. Which I feel like, didn't I say that?
Yeah.
When I was going into part of it? I'm pretty sure I talked about that. Those who saw the red-eyed beast also reported a series of strange, harassing phone calls and a string of nightmares leading up to the disastrous explosion.
Mm.
On April 26, 1986, the day of the accident, several people saw the huge blackbird actually flying around the smoke after the explosion. Even those in the nearby town of Pripyat, did I say that right? Pripyat, mm-hmm. Yeah. Claimed to have seen the strange creature that became known as the Blackbird of Chernobyl. in the days leading up to the disaster. Pripyat was also affected and later evacuated because of the harmful radiation, obviously, of Chernobyl. But the fact that it's, like, all over the world.
Yeah.
Do you think that there'd be one Mothman, or do you think it's multiple Mothmen?
It's a good question.
It would almost have to be multiple. Like, how does Mothman live that long? He's had to have, like, had a lover of some sort.
I would guess multiple.
I don't know. It'd be interesting. The Mothman was spotted at yet another bridge collapse in 2007. Eerily enough, the I-35W bridge in Minneapolis, Minnesota, was opened for traffic in 1967, the same year the Silver Bridge actually collapsed. Then on August 1st, 2007, after a month of Mothman sightings, the I-35W bridge collapsed during a rush hour, taking the lives of 13 people with it and injuring 145 more.
Jeez.
Yeah. Reports of the Mothman began trickling in on June 27th, 2007, preceding the collapse by a mere month. Many claimed to see the humanoid creature flapping its massive wings in the surrounding area and at the bridge itself. An Illinois woman witnessed the creepy cryptid while driving just outside of Stewartsville, Minnesota, on June 27th, 2007, called paranormal radio show host George Norrie on Coast to Coast AM and described the creature as having a huge wing with the width of a Ford.
Oh.
Leave it to an Illinois woman to, like, talk about it being like a truck.
For real, though.
If that's not Midwestern, I don't know what is.
Yeah.
In September of 2006, in La Crosse, Wisconsin, Awa Holly, a Cherokee man, and his son were driving down an isolated stretch of a road at night when the Mothman supposedly attacked them. In an interview on Monster Quest, he shared his entire encounter. Awahali told how the creature flew alongside and then directly in front of their windshield, close enough to touch. They got a really good look at it, describing it as bat-like and fleshy, with sparse hair and red eyes the size of road reflectors. He described the monster's high-pitched screech that gave them vertigo and made them sick to their stomachs. The man's son pulled over and threw up on the side of the road after returning to the location a few days later, in the daytime, mind you. All they found left behind was a deer carcass they later blamed on a poacher. Some believe the large, hairy, red-eyed creature the people of La Junta, Mexico, began to see stalking in the area of 2009 was the legendary Mothman. The sightings occurred around the time leading up to the 2009 swine flu outbreak in Mexico. Two witnesses, Angela Mendez and Viviana Ledesma, there we go, experienced pure terror as they heard the creature's screeches emanating out of an apple orchard near Menaca Cemetery. A student who requested to remain anonymous reported the Mothman chasing him for 15 minutes on the night of March 6th, 2009. Dang. Despite the best efforts of local authorities to hunt down the entity, no traces of it were ever found. 15 minutes? I can't run for a goddamn minute.
Yeah.
And that guy ran for 15 fucking minutes?
Wild. I would pass out.
Horde. But, yeah, that's it. That's Mothman. That's what I got on the cryptid. He's not like a... Oh, not like a Sasquatch or things like that where there's like a ton of other information on. He's just like a fun little cryptid, you know?
Yeah, he's just vibing. He's very well known.
Yeah, not, I wouldn't say little. He's supposedly a big cryptid, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you have it. That is the Mothman. Emma, you could take it away with the movie.
Oh, thanks. So, my film analysis part in this episode is going to be very brief because there are no critically acclaimed films about Mothman. Like, I looked and there's really only one from a long time ago that's worth mentioning. So for my little section, I will be talking about the movie titled The Mothman Prophecies.
Mm.
Yes. So The Mothman Prophecies was released in 2002 from director Mark Pellington. It stars Richard Gere, who plays the main character of John Klein, a recently widowed man, which I just learned that if you say widow, it applies to a woman, and if you say widower, it applies to a man.
Okay.
I had no idea.
Because I feel like I've heard people call women widowers.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people like don't know, and they just use them interchangeably, but...
Whatever. You lost your significant other.
There yes. Laura Linney plays Connie Mills, a detective who crosses paths with John. And Deborah Messing plays Mary Klein, who is John's widow. And these are all people... I mean, these people were big stars back then.
I forgot Deborah Messing was in that. God.
Yeah. In the 90s and early 2000s, these people were still relatively big. But, like, the kids of...
Huge then.
Yeah. Yeah. But the kids in this generation have no idea who these people are.
No. They sure don't.
No. So before I start about the plot, I want to say that this film is your typical, like, early 2000s style movie.
Oh, yeah. It's a horrible film. But, you know.
Yeah. The quality is not good. The shot types and sequences are blurry and sloppy. Yep. And it's just a typical fast-paced and simplistic type of psychological thriller.
Yeah,
it's nothing special. It's not super scary with jump scares or anything like that, because it instead focuses on the psychological elements of the Mothman legend. So it's not a creature feature where a giant dude in a costume is running around everywhere. That's not it at all.
But I mean, there is something in a costume. Yes,
there's something. But yeah, it's not a creature feature by any means.
Yeah, if they redid that to... I feel like they should redo Mothman. Like, I feel like they need to, like, give this cryptid a good movie.
I agree. I feel like you could do a lot of stuff with it. I mean, you can always do a lot of really cool things with psychological stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, I just wanted to let you all know about that first so that you understand the style of the film.
It's just a fun movie, you know?
It's just for fun. Personally, I was never a huge fan of the early 2000s film style because, again, I think it's really sloppy and really rushed. So, yes. Anyways, the movie starts out with a heartwarming scene of John and his wife, Mary, who decide to buy an incredibly nice and large new home together. They're over the moon and all over each other. When they are driving back home from closing the deal on this house, Mary is driving pretty fast, and she sees a sudden vision of this demonic-looking figure rushing towards her, big red eyes, and it makes her crash. She keeps asking John if he saw it, but he has no idea what she's talking about. So it was in her head. They go to the hospital after this to find that Mary has actually had a brain tumor for a while, a pretty severe one. Unfortunately, she ends up passing away. And so this intro is setting up the rest of the story with John as a widower trying to find meaning in what happened to his wife. It's kind of like a mystery. It does have mystery vibes.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. So he finds these drawings in his wife's journal that she was using when she was in the hospital right before she died, and she has been repeatedly drawing this really creepy demon-like figure with bright red eyes and huge wings. Eventually, John ends up in the town of Point Pleasant, West Virginia, where there have been multiple people who have seen the same kind of creature.
Shocker!
Yes. This creature psychologically manipulates John and makes him lose hours of memory at a time and can even mimic voices and appearances. So
that's the thing, creepy, is the voice mimicking, because that's always creepy in a film.
Yes. Yeah. And when it mimics voices, it has like the human voice, but then underlying it has like this weird, like otherworldly, like demonic voice to it. So yeah, it's super creepy. But yeah,
that did well.
Yeah. So pretty much what's fun about this movie is throughout the movie, when a character is talking or you're looking at a character, you don't know if it's actually them or not.
Mm-hmm.
It might be this creature. So the rest of the movie is about John and this detective named Connie trying to track all of the sightings and trying to figure out what this creature is, which turns out to be the Mothman.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Overall, like, I wasn't a huge fan. Like, that's yeah. pretty much how deep I'm going to go into it. It, mm-hmm. like, the beginning is really interesting because he shows up. He, like, loses track of time, like, 4 hours of time or something like that. I don't remember the exact amount, but he ends up in this town, Point Pleasant, mm-hmm. and he has no idea how he got there. And mm-hmm. it's the middle of the night, and he goes up to this house, and he, like, knocks on the door asking for a phone. And the guy that answers the door was, like, expecting him, and he has, like, a shotgun in his face, and he's like, what are you doing here? Like, I've told you to go away. And, like, John is so confused. And apparently this guy at this house has seen John come up to his house 3 nights in a row now.
Mm-hmm.
So this night has been playing in this dude's head over and over again, and John has no idea. And so it's really interesting because there's just so much psychological manipulation from all angles happening. And so, like, the characters don't even know what's going on with each other. So. But I mean, it has, what I did like about it is it has a little bit of, like, a Final Destination feel to it.
Yeah, I would say so. Because wasn't Final Destination in the same time? No. Final Destination was late 2000, right?
No, the first Final Destination was 2000, I think.
Okay, then yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah, they're both very similar. With all of the predictions and visions, that's the main mm-hmm. theme throughout the movie, is that this creature is telling things to these characters and basically saying that something really bad is going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Like predicting things, yes. Like 9/11, things like that. You know, they stuck with it and went with it.
Yes. Predictions and visions. It's like, what are those? I don't know the term for it, but it's those people.
The seers.
Yeah. That wasn't the word I was looking for, but yeah. Like death bringers. I don't know. I don't remember it, but yeah, just basically a line of predictions and with bad things happening. And so John thinks that, like, this Mothman or whatever was telling him and his wife that his wife was going to die, like a warning.
Oh, okay.
So it also, if you've seen the movie Knowing, which was one of my favorite movies growing up, it absolutely terrified me with Nicolas Cage. It also kind of has that feel to it, because Knowing is also a very like prediction based film where there's information that something really bad is going to happen and then it happens.
I don't know if I have seen that or not. It doesn't really sound familiar.
Oh, dude, that movie. I'm going to have to talk about it someday, because Knowing was a staple in my childhood horror. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like Knowing was one of the very first horror movies that I watched that really sent me into loving the genre. So that's a good one. I'll talk about it. I did love the psychological elements. I thought they did a really good job with that. They had a lot of twists and things that you did not see coming at all. So they did that aspect of it really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, would I go out of my way to watch it? No. Absolutely.
If you're gonna have, like, a creature feature night and you're gonna just watch some movies just for shits and gigs, you could throw this one in the mix.
Yes, pretty much. But it is definitely the best Mothman movie that is available right now, because all the other ones have, like, 2 out of 10 stars, and then the rest of them are, like, documentaries. So this is pretty much the best you're gonna find.
This is as good as it's going to get.
Yeah. And it does have an overall, like, yes, it's about the Mothman legend, but it has an overall theme of grief and death, the predicting mm-hmm. death thing, and John trying to navigate the grief of losing his wife. Because I feel like when a loved one dies, and I experienced this when my dad passed away, I feel like when a loved one dies, you are, like, desperately trying to find meaning as to why. Like, you don't, especially when it's unexpected, it's like you are just desperately trying to grab onto anything you can to try to make sense of it and try to make meaning and a purpose as to why it happened. And so that is a huge theme throughout the movie that I could relate to, and a lot of people can relate to, almost everyone. if you've never lost a loved one, then you're lucky. You're very lucky. But so I did like that element of it. And then I tried to find little tidbitties, but all of the ones that I found weren't that interesting. I mean, I
didn't really expect that.
The trivia really wasn't that good. Like, one of them was like, this movie was based off of what happened in Point Pleasant. I was like, no shit. Like, yeah. So, I mean, I could be missing a lot, though. I didn't do, like, super, super, super thorough research. So I could be missing a lot. But, this was just a fun one. And I feel like Ginny, it was more appropriate for Ginny to take the floor on this one, because I think that the real life story is so much better than any movie could make it out to be, you know?
Yeah, I would agree.
So, yeah.
All right. Well, I mean, this is kind of like a bit of a refresher of an episode, too. It's not super long like our other ones have been. So you're kind of getting like a quick breather before we get back into the mix of things. So find us on Instagram and Facebook, Two Broke Birches, the number 2. Find us on TikTok at Two Broke Birches Pod. There is still an email address, but nobody fucking cares about that. So just DM. Either on Instagram or on TikTok or Facebook, whatever you want to do. But continue to listen to us. We love all 10 of you that listened to the last episode.
Woohoo! We love you!
We do love you. And, you know, try not to have a shit-tastic day.
Bye!
Bye!